Blog Talk Radio.
Melendez. I define an artiste, whether you're a poet or a musician or actor or dancer, what goes hand in hand, what defines an artiste is activism. There's always some activism going on in their work or either through the front lines. And they're very rare, a very rare breed these days. And when I bump into an artiste, I like to keep them close because they're a wealth of information as well as a wealth of inspiration. So I am welcoming back a wonderful guest, Jesus Papalito Melendez. Hello. Hola.
Hey, Stephanie, live from El Barrio.
Yes. Welcome. So, I'm going to start out just by letting folks know that I'm filming my feature film. It's a mystery thriller set in El Barrio. And I wrote it back in the 80s when I was a resident playwright in the East Village. And I adapted it to a screenplay in like 2009. And it had a stage debut at the New Eureka Poets Cafe in 2000. Who was on the scene? At the birth, the inception of the legendary New Eureka Poets Cafe is Papo. So, hey, Jesus, tell us about that. Tell us about just the beginnings of the inception of that legendary venue.
Well, Stephanie, everything you said thus far, to begin the program is really cool information, very vital stuff. A lot of people are writing these days or call themselves, poets, spoken word artists, and they don't know the history of a lot of stuff that went down, before them. That, of course, all of that history, when you look at it, was harsh. You know what I mean? It was all civil rights. You understand what I'm saying? Stephanie?
Yeah.
It was all civil rights. Movement, everything, the whole thing. So basically what happened was that the poets themselves, let me name some people, Miguel Angarin, Miguel Piñera was in jail.
Right.
So he was in prison. The difference between jail and prison is that jail is where they hold you for a little while until they convict you, but then they put you in prison. That's like, where you're going to live, until you do your time. That's the difference between jail and prison.
Rikers is jail, and when you go upstate, that's prison. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I don't know whether he was in jail or prison, but either way, he was incarcerated, and he was exposed to this program by Marvin Camillo, who was a basically, a theoretician, and he brought a program of theater to wherever he was. Now, you have to look at the records, whether he was at, I think he was at Rikers. I think this all went down at Rikers because Short Eyes takes place at Rikers, to the best of my knowledge. The actor, Luis Guzman, played a very small role in the film version of Short Eyes, but he played, but he's made over 100 goddamn films in his life, and he started with a, like almost a non-speaking fucking role in Short Eyes, the film. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. See, the thing is, last time I was running my mouth and I kept cutting you off.
Okay, okay.
So I'm
okay.
Very silent today. So.
Okay, but just let me know. Let me know you people out there, because you know there's no commercials. So, you know, Luis Guzman, the actor whom you've seen, like he did Carlito's Way and all of that, and he
right.
did Traffic, you know, where he gets killed in traffic. You know, that was like a major role for him, you know, and give him a lot of props. He's from the Lower East Side, but he, you know, but anyway, he turned out to be an actor instead of a poet. Good for him. And he's a great guy. He lives up in Vermont. And he has a beautiful family and everything, and he's always there for the community. Now, see, that's the thing about, well, you want to talk about the New Eurekan Poets Cafe.
Yeah, then shut in the New Eurekan. Like this is part two, but this is going to be a part three, and because
okay,
it's only a
okay.
half-hour show, so you have
I think
a lot.
The time,
you have a lot
hurry
history.
Up. The New Eurekan Poets Cafe really started in Miguel Agarin's house, in his apartment, when he lived on 6th Street. What was that, A and B. And what happened was is that there was a bar on the corner of, he lived between B and C, pardon me. And look, I'm an old guy, okay? I got to write this shit down. Anyway, but there was a bar on the corner, and him and Miguel Piñero, Miguel Agarin used to hang out together. And me and Pedro used to hang out together. Pedro Pietri. So what happened was is that we would go and crash at people's houses. We were like fucking hobos all the time. All of us were hobos writing poetry in our own, in the vacuum of our own experiences. And then we started to like bust out, you know, like look for places to read. You know, you got to understand that there were no places to read poetry then. Back then.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about the 70s, the early 70s.
Yeah.
There was Cafe Wa, where Pedro had read, and there was a real beat locale to read poetry. The White Horse, you know, and other places like that. You had to go to the Village to read poetry, basically. But because people started getting militant, the Puerto Ricans started getting militant. Of course, after the African Americans realized, well, after, you know, Negroes realized their blackness and then became militant and all that other shit, you know, radicalized. The New Eurekan Poets Movement, pardon me, is actually a post beat movement. You have to look at the beatniks.
Right.
You know, that's the influence, you see, because that broke away from the university and all of that, which is funny because now it's just made a complete turnaround and I can't get a job because, you know, everybody got a degree to do what we did for free. So.
I hear.
You hear me. But the beatniks, who are the post-World War II poets, American poets, took poetry out of the university. This is Lawrence Ferlinghetti, Jack Kerouac's the leader, Allen Ginsberg, Gregory Corso, all these cats, and Amiri Baraka. Okay? And Amiri Baraka and Ted Jones. These are black poets. Ted Jones. Look up Ted Jones. Fucking mad surrealist goddamn poet. He had to go to France, okay, to be a poet, but this cat's out there, you know. And I met Ted Jones with Pedro when we were saying, hey, well, you got to know all this shit. You know, not you, Stephanie, you know what I mean?
The whole world is listening, so, okay. You know, touching the hearts and minds of many.
So you see, these movements butter us each other. You see what I'm saying? There's the white poets basically taking fucking poetry out of the university and throwing it out onto the campus and onto the streets, and then it becomes part of the anti-war movement. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So they get all involved in that, and then you know, you know, what previous, you know, also like a line, like I don't know, parallel to that with the black. The Negro poetry moving into radicalism. You see what I mean? And there you get Amiri Baraka, Don L. Lee, who's not Don L. Lee anymore. What is his name? Brother Dr. Mahatma? No? I can't pronounce his name, but you know who I'm talking about.
Right.
Who wrote Don't Cry, Scream, which is a great goddamn book of poetry. You know, him be so cool. That had such a fucking influence on me. And Ferlinghetti, you know, Coney Allen of the Mind, and Ginsberg, Howell, you know, these things, you got to read these things, because these things were like, the reason why we could talk shit now, whatever shit we want to talk about, is because these guys broke ground. I mean, Ginsberg was taken. He took his case to the Supreme Court to claim that poetry was not pornography. And if it was pornography, that was fucking okay, too. You know, poetry had the right to be whatever the hell it wanted to be. You understand? Like, these are, see, poets, okay. Are, really, poets are the guardians of the First Amendment. And they don't even care about the First Amendment. You know what I mean? It's like the First Amendment is like, to a poet's mentality, the First Amendment is like the goddamn 10th Amendment. Okay, the First Amendment is truth. Then you go down the line, and later on you get to, like, you can say whatever you want, which they call the First Amendment. You understand what I'm saying? Shit.
Yeah.
You know, so what happened was is that we got all these movements happening before us, the Beats, the Blacks, and then the Puerto Ricans. Then the Puerto Ricans come along, you know. And they're strangers in this paradise, and they're trying to figure it all out. You know, see, the New Eureka movement is based on Puerto Ricans who came to New York when they were, you know, they had a memory of Puerto Rico. But now their new experience, the rest of their life experience is going to be, you know, New York, the United States, that reality, you know, I pledge allegiance to the flag. And then you get Puerto Ricans who came, who were born in New York because their parents came, you know, to New York, and they were born there. All of this is happening at the same time. In my case, which I dig, which makes me quintessential New Yorkian, is that I was conceived in Puerto Rico and born in New York, so don't fuck with me. You know, I didn't know shit about a palm fucking tree, okay, until Pedro Pietri, my good friend, El Reverendo Pedro Pietri, who took me to Puerto Rico in 1975 when my ass is like 20 fucking 4 years old. And, you know, Pedro's like 5.5 years older than me. And he fought in Vietnam. Yeah, he was traumatized. He lost his best friend, Angel, in Vietnam, who was a map reader and shit, which is why Pedro hated reading maps, which is why I had to read the fucking map every fucking way we went. And the good thing about Pedro was that even though he never read a map, he'd always get to where the fuck he was going. When I say hate, I'm saying hate here. Pedro hated maps. He used to get mad at me when we were traveling across Europe, right? And I'm calculating, meters into miles.
Oh, my God.
How how far something is in relationship to New York and Chicago, say. You know, or Hoboken. You know, East Harlem to Hoboken. Okay, man. This is like, okay, we're going from East Harlem to Hoboken. This should take about 30 minutes, you know. And President sitting across from me all pissed off, you know, like, fucking put the fucking map away and look out the fucking window. Okay, I'm going to sleep. You know, he hated maps because Angel got killed. And Angel could read those maps to tell you, like, the height of terrain, you know, which is very interesting, you know. So he must have been, I never met Brother Angel. Must have been a great guy. Anyway, so what happened is that we would meet at Miguel Agang's house on 6th Street. And he had an apartment, first floor, it ran from the beginning, from the you know, front to the back. You know, you see it in The Godfather, you know. Anyway, those kinds of apartments in the Lower East Side.
Oh, and railroad apartment?
Yeah, like a railroad, yeah. And we would go there, and we would, like, somehow, I don't even know how the hell we did it, but we converged there, and there were all these poets, like, just like he has slams now, you know what I mean? But here's the difference, okay? I mean, what I observe is the difference, ladies and gentlemen, pardon me, okay? I don't mean to be judgmental, I just mean to be observational, fucking up. Okay, so, so, people would come up. We're in a living room setting, like you're in somebody's apartment, but they live in like not a regular apartment because he had that railroad thing you're talking about, the backyard
right.
And everything. And the kitchen was like all the way at the end, and we wound up cooking breakfast. You understand what I mean? And we couldn't even fucking cook, okay? You know, burnt sausages, bread, toast, the whole fucking thing. You know, it's crazy. Mainly, you know, wine, marijuana, and other, you know, goodies. And we would spend the whole night reading poetry to each other. Now, we had nobody else to read poetry to.
Yeah.
All we could do is read poetry to each other. Everybody in the fucking... the audience were all poets. There was no audience. It was us. It'd be like 15, you know, so many people.
Sounds wonderful.
You know, sitting on what the fuck you call the arm of the fucking sofa.
Yeah.
And we just crash. You know what I mean? We get, you know, but here's the thing. People would like read poetry that wasn't even finished. They would, like, whip out little pieces of paper, like say, like, you know, those legal pads and shit, those yellow legal pads. And, like, let's say you started writing a poem on legal pads, you know what I mean? And it was pages and pages, but then you tore out the pages and folded them up so they could fit in some kind of pocket, you know, on you. And that's what you would whip out. And you'd stand there reading this poem that nobody had ever heard. In many occasions, it had never even been given voice itself. The poet had not read it aloud to himself or herself. You know what I'm saying? This is like, you know, so you think you can dance.
Oh.
Without a rehearsal. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah, I definitely. I see it.
You know, and people were pouring their hearts out. It's like a living room, salon. They're pouring their hearts out, and the poetry is not, you know, selfie poetry. It's cultural. Intellectual,
yeah.
Historical. It's trying to give voice to, like, us being here.
Yeah.
And not only that, we can't speak English too tough.
Oh,
If you look did we talk last time? I told you about Pedro's poem, A Puerto Rican Obituary. Great poem, Puerto Rican. Goddamn, read Puerto Rican Obituary. Not you. Puerto Rican Obituary. And he's talking about the cemetery. Let me see if I can get it. Hold on. It's right here, okay? It's somewhere right here. It's just sometimes my books take leave of absence, you know? They got missions. Okay, in Puerto Rican Obituary, by Reverendo Pedro Pietri,
he has a street named after him.
Yeah, the Third Street, where the New Rican Poets Cafe is. Look at this. Olga died waiting for a $5 raise. Manuel died waiting for his supervisor to drop dead so he could get a promotion. Is a long ride from Spanish Harlem to Long Island Cemetery. Is a long ride. Is a long ride from Spanish Harlem to Long Island Cemetery where they were buried. First the train and then the bus and the cold cuts for lunch and the flowers that will be stolen when visiting hours are over. Is very expensive. But they understand their parents understood. Is a long non-profit ride from Spanish Harlem to Long Island Cemetery.
Wow.
You see, later, if you might see this poem in other publications, it might say it is a long ride.
It is
a long ride.
Oh yeah, tis a long ride. Let me just interject that as a actor, initially I considered myself an actor first because I went to NYU School of the Arts. I was lucky to get in. In fact, I did one of Inchizaki's for Color Girls. I did one of her poems to try and get into NYU School of the Arts. But to interject, I am an actor. I consider myself an actor first, but then I ended up playwriting and directing and producing. It wasn't part of the plan. But my inspiration when I do my rehearsal, because I have no budget, when I do rehearsals or whenever I do whatever I do, you guys are my inspiration. Because I know, like you said, Cafe Noir, all these people, you rehearsed, you did whatever you had to do in the bathroom or in the basement or anywhere. You know, you didn't have a set, you didn't have costumes, you didn't have anything. And all you guys are my inspiration. Because it's about the work. It's about the art. You could do it anywhere. You don't have to have the best situation.
I told you about me and Pedro urinating into a toilet bowl, though. Did we talk about that?
I don't think so. I don't know.
I don't know. I didn't listen to last week's tape. I'm sorry. But no. We were doing Lululu, Pedro's play, Lululu, which takes place in the housing projects in the stairwell. The whole play is in the stairwell between two floors. I forgot which two floors. These lovers meet every time their mothers, they live with their mothers. The boy, you know, the guy lives with his mother and the girl lives with her mother. And every time their mothers go to the bathroom at the same time, as Pedro would say, simultaneously, the lovers can meet in between the staircase. Now, the girl's mother is opposed to any relationship that the girl would have with anybody who lives on a lower floor. The guy lives on a lower floor, Lou. The place is called Lululu. And so Lou lives on the lower floor, so, you know, she could never introduce her to her mother, so they got to wait till they both go to the bathroom at the same time. And while they do, the lovers meet in between the floors and they have a picnic. The whole thing, you know, like it's like a really hilarious play. And they dance to doo-wop songs, and, but they can't touch because her mother inspects her clothing for male fingerprints. Bella was a great artist writer, you know.
That's the beauty of that. That's the beauty of it all. You do your art wherever, on the street corner, in the toilet, in the bathroom, wherever.
Yes,
and
that was it. Yeah. So there's a point
in
the play.
That's what I. Yeah.
You brought me back to that. Thank you. There's a point in the play where you know they're doing their thing in between the floors, but somebody, you know, they hear somebody in the upper floor, you know, open the door, and now he's in the stairwell too, but he's, you know, a few floors above, and they're all apprehensive and everything, and this person comes into the floor to take a leak, like people do in the projects.
Oh, yeah,
okay?
Definitely.
Oh, yeah, right? So the guy's taking a leak, and we needed a recording of somebody taking a leak. Right, so me and Pedro, you know, whip out our Johnsons and our cassette recorder, right? And we start peeing, right? They get an authentic sound, you know.
I love it. Oh my God, those were the days.
So anyway, the thing is that we met in Miguel Agarin's house. After a while, you know, that got cumbersome. You know, you gotta, you know, the thing about owning a restaurant is like having company all day. And that you gotta clean up after. Because they're gonna get up and leave, you know. So the idea with when Miguel Pinheiro broke out with Short Eyes, they had money. Plus, Miguel Agarin was working at Rutgers as a professor, so they got together and they bought the bar on the corner, 6th Street, and that became the New Yorican Poets Cafe. In fact, the bar that is at the New Yorican Poets Cafe on 3rd Street is the original bar.
Wow. And
that logo and everything, that's from then.
Amazing.
Yeah, and it was a much smaller space. Pedro and I produced Lululu there. We produced Jesus Is Leaving there. Excuse me, with Juan Valenzuela, and his wife, We did Lululu at the Frederick's Douglass Theater over on Frederick Douglass Avenue over there on, like, on 35th Street or something. I don't know if it's still there. But Pedro got a grant to do that. And we did Lululu there. We produced plays and everything. But anyway, so what happened
Fantastic.
Was then they opened up the cafe and then it broke out, you know, like people started coming. And then, you know, I don't know what happened because I went to California and I started living in California. But in the interim, they moved to 6th Street. I know there was an area where nothing happened for a period. You know, I don't know what that, you know. But then they acquired the place on 3rd Street. Where they are now, where they have, like, I think $10 million to do some shit. And I hope that they would honor as many as the living original New Yorican poets in whatever they fucking, you know, next year. I got to say that because, you know, like...
Papo, we only have a few seconds left, but we're going to pick up this conversation. I'll give a date and pick it up, right? Because you're right, you know, these people need to be recognized. And okay, honey, we're going to pick it up.
I end up here that I want to read for you.
Oh, we only have 24 seconds. Okay.
Okay, well, let me play something for you.
Okay.
Oh, damn. See, now I'm all mixed up.
Yeah, well, we're off air now.
Huh?
Okay, so we're going to do this again next Wednesday, maybe, or the week after. I'll check with you on a date. Hello? And we'll pick it up from here.
Okay.
Thank you, Poppy.
Yes.
This show will be available on demand in a few minutes if you missed any of it.
You close your shows ahead.
Thank you. Cool.